Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Insurance was. So 71% is going to be self-pay, not insured. So 71%
of the kids. And it's just people that just didn't pay.
Have no insurance.
Means, homeless people and all
that. That is correct. It could be homeless. They could have no insurance, whatever the cause. They have no insurance. So that's going to be $7.2 million of that 10.1.
Oof. This is a conversation that the Escambia County Commissioners were having with. This is Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety. No stranger to this show. You've heard his voice many times. Very capable person, by the way. And they're talking about the EMS bad debt. This is the kind of thing where, you know, the county runs the ambulance service. And so people call for an ambulance. And if they get transported anywhere, there's a charge associated with that. And it's pretty expensive. It's either $800 or $1,100, depending on whether you have a, you know, basic, a BLS, okay, which is the basic service, or whether you have an advanced, which is a paramedic on there. And that's a little bit more. And if you go to the hospital, then they have to wait with you at the hospital until you get served. That's why they talk about, like, holding the wall when there's backups at the hospital. Okay, but then the question is, well, who pays for that? Well, you know, if you have insurance, your insurance pays for it. Depending on your insurance plan, you might have a copay or a deductible. If you're on Medicaid, you know, they're going to pay, but there's a process. If you don't have either of those, well, you pay. But a lot of times you don't pay because that's the problem. And a lot of times and every year we go through this conversation. In fact, I think we go through it twice a year, if I'm not mistaken. But I definitely know we go through it at least once a year. And it's a lot of money that the county has to write off to bad debt and say we just can't collect it.
14 is concerning uncollectible bad debt write off of accounts receivable recorded in the Emergency Medical Services Fund. 15 is concerning state law.
We're writing off $9 million worth. How much are we writing off?
$10 million.
Oof. You know, $10 million is an awful lot of money, even though it's in a $700 million county budget. You know, $10 million is nothing to scoff at.
Well, it is a conversation. I mean, because even if I was a citizen not sitting here, I mean, $10 million, and you know, I need a sidewalk, or and you're writing off $10 million. That's tough. I mean, and so we need to break it down and at least present that and. A way that says we can't collect, or there's another methodology in which we can get it. If we can't get it, we just can't get it. I mean, or Commissioner Kohler has a bright idea how we can negotiate with insurance companies. Let's take that idea.
Yeah, I mean, Commissioner May is right. It's a lot of money to get rid of. On the other hand, like, kind of put it in perspective, anytime you run a medical operation, you're going to have people who cannot pay. Every hospital will tell you there's a lot of money that goes out the door or never comes in the door because people come in who cannot pay and for whatever reason, okay? And so that's kind of like built into the system. Just like, you hate to say it, but, you know, shoplifting is built into the retail system. They call it shrinkage, right? That's the reduction in your inventory. Well, in medical terms, when people go to a hospital, a lot of times they don't wind up paying, especially if they go to the emergency room. And part of the problem with not having insurance is they go to the emergency room, which is more expensive to treat them, and they don't pay, right? I mean, because you're obligated to take care of them if it's an emergency. You're not as obligated to take care of them if you're like just a general physician operating at your normal practice. So there's all these factors in here, and there's always going to be bad debt. The question is how much bad debt.
What's the national average on bad debt?
22%.
22%. And this is?
17%.
17%. So we're plus 5% to the national average.
Right.
I'd say negative 5.
Bad debt write-off.
Right. I mean, and I don't care about that analysis, Robert, for me personally. I mean, I care about the analysis of breaking it down and see how can we improve it, rather we're comparing it to the national average or what. I mean, if it's a way in which we can recover those dollars, even if it's just $1 million, that's a lot of money going back into the community.
And here I agree with Lumen. Yeah, you know, this Robert Bender asking Eric Gilmore about the how much is it, and we're 5% better than the national average on collections. And Lumen says, well, you know, we still could do better. Maybe we can find $1 million left on the table, and that's better than losing 10. 9 is better than 10. 8 is better than 9. Right, that makes sense. But still, 17 is better than 22. And there is the part of the problem with this conversation where I agree with the clear express sentiments of several members of the board, including Stephen Berry, is this becomes this, like, big political hot potato every time it comes up, because the casual government observer says, oh my God, $10 million we just lost. Well, yeah, but it's $10 million that we knew in advance we were not going to ever get out of the $58 million or whatever it is that, you know, is the overall billing. And so EMS is, because it's a government-run operation, and it doesn't have to be, right? In Santa Rosa, it's contracted out to Lifeguard. And in other counties, they do it themselves. In some counties, they contract it out. And so there's different models for working this. The real question is, if we're billing, you know, 58 and we're collecting, let's say, 48 because we're losing 10 to various kinds of bad debt, how can we get that to be a little bit better? And is that covering the expenses, or would we be doing better to contract it out to somebody else? I mean, those are all the questions, right? So Mike Kohler says, well, what if the people who are self-insured, what if the issue is they're not meeting their deductibles, and what if their deductible is 20%? I mean, what if we, you know, or because maybe they're through Medicare, Medicaid, and other private insurance. It was hard to know in the early conversation how much was from what. Is there some way for us to just put up the deductible and get the 80%? I mean, it's a smart question. I mean, basically, we pay their deductible, which you say, well, why would we pay 20% to get 80? You know, like, and he's kind of a medical background guy. That's what he did for a living in the Navy. So he understands this stuff. And it's a fair question, but they didn't have an answer for it. So they come back at night with the answer. And that was the early clip of Eric Gilmore saying, well, 71% is self-payer, no insurance. So if you don't have any insurance at all, then there is no 20% to cover. And you know, like, that formula doesn't work. 17% is through commercial or Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's a 1.7 total. That's something maybe, but then kind of the legal questions of, can you assign those benefits? Can we pay for them? It's uncertain, but they're going to look into it. And the Medicare and Medicaid part that we're missing out on is only like 6%. It's $600,000, a lot, but it's, you know, in the scheme of the other things, it's not that big of a deal. So here's where it got kind of interesting is Stephen Berry then asked the question, well, can you just, I mean, I don't know, can we learn from some other people? What are other counties doing that might be doing this better?
Can we just, you know, try to take advantage of maybe some other state resources and just see if there's any other counties that have that have been successful in any other method, and you know, just kind of I mean, pull some of our percentages. I mean, you know, if so, that 71% of this is uninsured. Okay, so that's 71% of you know, whatever that number that we're having to write off. You were saying 16-17%, whatever that number is.
17%, okay. Yes, sir.
All right, so that, I mean, we can calculate what that is and just kind of compare that to some other like-sized counties. I mean, you know, and just see what those numbers are. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's a good question, and to see whether locally in the Panhandle or in Florida anyway, 17 is a good number, or whether we should do better at 15, or, you know, how we're doing basically compared to other counties. And Eric Gilmore says, well, you know, the problem is nobody wants to talk about this.
So we will try to do that. The issue is the other counties don't want to share what their debt write-off is because they don't want to, you know, it's a bad number. They don't want to publicize that. We have to do public records requests to other agencies who are government agencies so we can get those numbers, and they're still reluctant to get those to us, but we will try to get that information. Yes, sir.
We can't even call the other counties EMS and ask them because they don't want to say, because they don't tell their people. And he's saying we've got to do public records requests under the Sunshine Law to get them to tell us how much they're losing in bad debt every year. That's weird, right, Commissioner Bender?
I was going to say, I think a number of counties don't do this. You know, I think we're one of the few that actually take it to the board, and write it off, whereas others just write it off.
Well, if we don't have to do it, I mean, I'd prefer we didn't do it either.
Well, they said
if we don't have to do this, I mean, why are we
They send her straight to collection, yes, sir. So,
Yeah, maybe that's a conversation. Yeah. And I just do not be part of a board meeting either.
Yeah.
But. Okay, you get what he's saying. Of course, we're going to still do the debt write-off. We're still going to have bad debt. We're still going to run to collections, all this kind of stuff. He's just saying he doesn't want to do it in public because every time this comes up, it makes them look bad because we're losing $10 million, even though it's not really that bad because that's what everybody deals with. And, you know, the optics of it are superficially ugly, but the reality of it is this is just what happens. And so weirdly, it's going to sound weird coming out of my mouth. This is one of those cases where Escambia County is more transparent than other counties, apparently. But Commissioner Barry is jealous of the other counties, and he wants to be less transparent like they are. he's really excited about the idea of not having to have a public meeting where they acknowledge how much bad debt they're writing off. Even though it's an okay thing to have to do, he thinks, I guess, either people are not savvy enough to understand that it's an okay thing for people to do, and he'd rather just hide it from them so that he doesn't have to deal with the public embarrassment of people texting him and saying, oh, well, you know, why is there $10 million getting written off? What are you doing, Commissioner?
You didn't miss the boat on the bad debt write-off, buddy. Maybe it'll be the last one we ever have to do that.
Last one we ever have to do.
Maybe Madam Counsel will find the clause that these other counties are not having to vote on this, and we won't have to vote on it again.
Don't worry about what $10 million can do for your district. Don't worry about it.
That's right, Lumen. Ask that question. Keep asking that question. Let's see. Because if it's out in the public, then we'll continually ask, how can we do it better? And you can keep asking. We can maybe save some money. Or maybe even like they suggested, well, is there a way to reach out to the, you know, 1,600, I think it is. There's a certain 2,700 number. There's a 2,700 pool of people who are repeat frequent flyer offenders who call EMS for all kinds of crazy reasons and don't pay. And sometimes legitimate reasons, but still don't pay. And the basic question that, again, Stephen Barry was asking, and I thought this is a good question, and Robert Bender same. Well, can we do something to at least get them onto if they need Medicaid? Is there a way we can get them into a situation where we can start getting compensated for the care that we're legally obliged to give them? That's a good question, and they're going to look into it. Anyway, so I just thought it was so weird. You know, it was one of these cases where the number looks bad, but when you understand it, it's not. And we're trying to do better. And I think we are doing better than we used to be doing. And yet, as soon as the, you know, Commissioner Barry finds out that it's done in public and doesn't have to be, he's like, oh, can we just hide that? Can we make one vote and say, y'all do what you need to do, and then forever we don't have to talk about this in public? Man, you could have taken a victory lap. You could have been like, well, this is what shows that we're that kind of county. We're the good kind of county. We're the transparent kind of county, you know? We may not be able to take that victory lap all that often, but we can take it right here. And let's keep doing this and keeping it in the sunshine because the sunshine's the best disinfectant. And let's, you know, let's keep working on this and let's show some success and let's report to the people that we got it down to 7 million or 6 million. And let's celebrate if we get it to 10%. It's just a weird misreaction to a story that is oddly kind of good for Escambia County. At least that's my read. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Quick, name 2 things that hiss. Did you say gas leak? If not, here are some safety tips. Look, listen, smell, and leave. Look for blowing dirt, dead plants, dry spots in moist areas, and bubbling water in creeks or ponds. Listen for a hissing sound near gas appliances or lines. Smell for a rotten egg odor. If you detect any of these signs, leave immediately and call Pensacola Energy at 850-474-5300. Snakes and cats aren't the only things that hiss. Learn more at PensacolaEnergy.com.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
More news, more talk with Markley Van Kevin Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Meow, 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 meow.
You know the rest of it. I know the chorus. I know the refrain. I know the bridge.
I could have wrote that song.
Wish you had.
I do.
I think we all do. Yeah, how much money do you think the inventor of the Meow Mix Meow song? Do you think it was a person or do you think it was an ad agency?
Oh, I'm sure it was an ad agency.
Probably the dude or dudette who wrote it.
Yeah, whoever wrote it probably got like $10 and then the ad agency is like
the palm frond and
I've seen a little bit of Mad Men. I know how it works.
5:26 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is back. Woohoo!
It is great to be back. Thank you very much.
Good to have you back, sir. Yeah. What's going on in the news today?
Well, rescue efforts are ongoing in Morocco after that magnitude 6.8 earthquake that hit the country. More than 2,100 people so far have been confirmed dead. The death toll expected to rise even more. Pennsylvania State Police believe an escaped criminal is still within their state and possibly even within the county. Officials say they're still searching for Danilo Cavalcante, and that search has now shifted to the northern part of Chester County, and I've heard a lot of people around here even following that pursuit. And today, the 22nd anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, families who lost loved ones that day, of course, gathering at the World Trade Center Memorial in Manhattan. And I think that's one of those things everybody remembers where they were on that day.
Absolutely, yeah. How old were you at that? Was that your reason for enlisting?
It was. It was the reason I did. It was.
Because I was thinking
it was about a year or two later. Right. Yeah, it was my senior year of high school when it happened.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. I remember seeing the news reports and all that. You know, so.
And that led you to enlist.
Yeah, it was one of the big reasons. Yeah, well, you know, it was that weird time where everybody felt like we have to do something. What do we do? You know, and a lot of people, you know, my age. We're enlisting and going off, and so then I did too.
And by the time, I mean,
you're
were
amazing.
Several
thank
years
you for thereafter. Your
yes, absolutely. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
And so, several years after the initial, certainly after Afghanistan had been well underway, so you were in Iraq, right? Primarily.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. And I'm, as you said, not alone in that. The Pearl Harbor phenomenon, right? I mean, everybody signs up. And in that case, for a lot of folks, especially aviators, like the war was over by the time they got trained, and so that's the devotion phenomenon. But obviously the war on terror went on for a long time, 20 plus years. And to some degree, it's still going on, even though, not quite the same way, obviously. Candy, where were you? Do you remember?
Yeah. It just takes you back, doesn't it? Sorry. I was staying with a friend and getting a ride to work, and it's like, God, that's weird. A plane crashed into that. And then by the time I got to TK, where I was working in the morning, the other plane had crashed and the Pentagon thing had happened, and we had to go all news.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I guess we're at war. And, it's like, well, somebody's at war with us. It was
I was driving in from one set of classes I was teaching to another campus where I was teaching, and I heard it on KMOX, the big station in St.
Right,
Louis.
Right.
And I'm like, what? And I walk in and everybody's crowded around the TV at Harris Stowe State College where I was teaching, HBCU, by the way. And I was teaching there and it was just like everybody's watching the TV. And that's when they were saying like 50,000 people because we didn't have any idea.
Right. Nobody knew. That was crazy.
And then questions like, well, do you teach? You know, do you do your class? And
right.
I did have class, mostly on the, you know, the idea that, well, they don't get to tell us how we live. But it was, that was a hard day. That was a hard day for everybody. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody says about the life, about the EMS stuff. What if we sold the EMS entirely to Lifeguard? That's who runs it in Santa Rosa County. It's a private company. Would we get rid of writing off the bad debt and make it their debt, or would they be able to charge the county back? I am sure that Lifeguard in the contract for the county would have all of that baked in, if they would even be willing to take it on. And I don't know that they would or not. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm sure you could probably find some company to take it. The question would be at what price, you know, because the Santa Rosa County recently, I think they didn't have to pay before, but they more recently started paying in order for Lifeguard to do it. So it's actually a net loser for Lifeguard, but with a little bit of a subsidy, they're taking care of it.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden in Vietnam talking about new business partnerships, including an Arizona semiconductor company's new factory and Boeing selling planes to Vietnam Airlines.
Everyone in both our countries is working to make sure the people, no matter who they are, can seize potential.
The president's on his way to Alaska now on this 22nd anniversary of the 9/11 attacks.
Nearly 3,000 lives were lost on that tragic day in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Memorial events are planned across the country to honor the victims. President Biden will commemorate the attacks on his way home from the G20 summit at a military base in Anchorage, Alaska.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. Day 12 in Pennsylvania, the manhunt for escaped murderer Danilo Cavalcante. Police say he has abandoned a stolen dairy truck he used to leave the initial search area. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 72 right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Family members have now identified the victim of a fatal shooting that happened on Saturday. It's 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson. Now, that shooting happened on Emerald Avenue on Saturday morning, and investigators say they're still working to identify the shooter and why they pulled the trigger. Johnson's family members say he was visiting someone at their home when he was shot by an unknown suspect. The family now urging that person to turn themselves in, and the sheriff's office asking anybody who has any information on this shooting to either contact them or to call Crime Stoppers. Eastbound traffic on I-10 near Milton was blocked for several hours. This is after a fatal three-car pileup that happened over the weekend on Saturday. Happened near mile marker 35 on Saturday afternoon. FHP says a 71-year-old Niceville woman died in that crash. The victim identified again as a 71-year-old woman from Niceville. The driver of another vehicle was also taken to the hospital, and there's no update on their condition or the extent of their injuries. Another fatal crash killed a Milton man on Saturday morning. That was on State Road 89, and FHP says a southbound pickup truck crossed over into the northbound lane. That resulted in a head-on crash with a sedan. The driver of the sedan died at the scene. He's been identified as a 48-year-old man. The driver of the truck also taken to the hospital with serious injuries. Jacksonville deputies are investigating a deadly hit-and-run crash that happened on Saturday night. Investigators there say a sedan hit a pedestrian. That's the 134th fatal traffic crash over in that part of the state so far this year. It is 533, News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with just a small chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 93. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Tuesday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 72 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3. Get your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie.
and local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Neil Young tribute band Rust and Gold.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
They'll be bringing the Neil Young experience to Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. And remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Single back in the backfield is Jamontez Woods as Wilson has come out. Man comes in motion across the set. Two receivers out to the side. They'll toss, sweep. Woods takes it inside near the goal line. Does he get in? Yes, he does. Touchdown from 7 yards out. The Argos jump on top of this football game. Jamontez Woods taking it into the purple painted end zone.
Jamontez Woods with a 7-yard run on first and goal for the Argos to get things started against McKendree College, or University, I guess they are. And it was always McKendree College, I thought, and now it's University up in Lebanon, Illinois. That's a different Lebanon, by the way. 9:35 to go in the first quarter, and then a little bit later on, right in the very beginning of the second quarter.
Back to pass on first down. Jarrett looking deep. He's got a man. It's Caden Leggett. If he hits him, it's a touchdown, and then it is. Touchdown, Argos. Pee-wee Jarrett to Caden Leggett. They tried one on a fourth down. It didn't work. It works this time. Leggett with his first touchdown of the season. 47-yard bomb.
47 yards, I think, on the fourth down conversion. So not bad. It was a weird game. Okay, it was a weird game. It was a blowout win, but we had a garbage time in the first half, an interception. Defense was tremendous by UWF. Amazing. God, how many sacks for a loss did they get? I thought the number was 11 in the end. I mean, it was a lot of sacks. So that, you know, the defense was just terrible, swarming all over McKendree. There were a couple of ways that the offense was struggling just a little bit, and that was one. Is like we had to go for it on several fourth downs. Kind of like, you know, if you're totally overpowering, you don't expect that quite as, and a couple of punts as well. Here's another situation. 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Pee Wee Jarrett back to pass for UWF.
Jarrett back to throw. He's throwing a fade to the corner to John Giles. Touchdown, Argos! Perfect throw from Pee Wee Jarrett. Giles just kind of jogs into it as he had the defender beat. Jarrett puts it on the money. John Giles with his second touchdown of the season. The Argos go 75 yards, 16 yards on the scoring play. Jarrett to Giles.
And I mentioned that there was a number of sacks. Here's an example. This is 3 minutes to go in the second half.
Fisher back
first
to pass.
Half, sorry.
Argos bring some pressure up the middle. They're going to chase him out of the pocket. Lunchtime. Aiden Sweat all over him. John McMullen meets him at the quarterback. It's a big sack. It's back into McKendree territory. The Argos force it over on downs.
Sacked him back across the midline. There was another one also in that same quarter. 2 minutes later, same guy.
Fisher back to pass. Pressure coming. Sweat's going to get him. Takes him to the ground. Aiden Sweat there. John McMullen right behind him. Jake Dorn, too. Three Argos meet at the quarterback.
Yeah, so pretty good on the defensive side, frankly. Sixth-ranking Argos, again, received a dominating performance. 15 penalties, though. Good Lord. The penalties were bad. We'll talk about that in a second. Meanwhile, UWF picked it up on defense also with an interception early in the third, or about midway through the third quarter.
Fisher back to pass on the next down. Argos are coming to get him. They hit him. Ball is floated. If somebody can turn around, they got an interception, and they do. Picked off at the inside the 10-yard line, and boy, the crowd just got really quiet here. Donovan Barnes, number 30, the DB for the Argos. It was just hanging up in the air.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty impressive. And then this is probably the long play of the game. Okay, just for your fun time call.
McKendree fans trying to get back into this game a little bit. Time running out. There's a jump. It's a free play. John Giles catches it over here outside the 30, goes up the sideline. Bulls a defender, stays on his feet. John Giles has got a blocker. He's got Caden Leggett. He's going to go all the way for the touchdown. John Giles scores again.
Yeah, that was amazing. 77 yards. And then this is what I'm talking about. When they were on fourth down, fourth and two, beginning of the fourth quarter or like a minute in.
But the Argos will punt the football here. Gregory back.
They're up 28-3.
It's a fake punt. It's Caden Leggett around the corner. Gets to the 50, to the 45, 40, the 30. He's got it. If he can keep going, stays on his feet. A flag flies. Leggett's going to make it to the end zone on a fake punt. There's going to be a flag at the end of the play. We'll see what this call is. But either way, it's a first down. He may not get the touchdown, but we're certainly going to get the first down. And what a gutsy call out of the timeout by Coach Caleb Nobles.
You're up 28-3, and you run a fake punt on McKendree University? Shame on you. That's not nice. But then it got called back on a downfield hold. So they got the first down, but they didn't get the touchdown. No worries. Later on, about 2 minutes later, again on fourth and six.
The offense comes back out.
That's what I'm talking about. Struggling to get it done in
ball
left
on the
fewer
far
downs.
Fourth and six. Jarrett back to pass. He's got a man. Throws it. Giles on his knees. Makes the catch. He's got the first down yardage. Yes, he does. Giles had to go down to his knees to get it. Bounced around in his chest, but he kept it off the ground. It's all you needed.
There you
pick
go.
Pick up the first down.
So they did pick up the first down there, and then they get in for a touchdown later on in that same scoring system. So 35-3 is your final score. Caleb Nobles, Coach Nobles, after the game with Brian Henry.
Coach, obviously you said you needed to get the offense a little more straightened out there in the second half, and I think Pee-wee throwing for 180 more yards, went over 300. You got two receivers who went over 100 yards. You guys straightened it out there in the second half.
No, we tried our best to. We figured out we got to get just a little bit more, you know, simple on offense. Don't try and do too much. Try and, you know, scheme them up, but also, man, just get our best players in space. Thought Pee-wee did a good job of it. We got a lot of stuff we got to clean up, work on. Obviously, the road will be tougher as we move forward, so we just got to keep making sure that, you know, we keep taking what they give us every single game, no matter what we're calling.
Yeah, that cleaning it up, the penalties, ridiculous number of penalties.
And again, the defense, I mean, start to finish, they really just dominated this game. They were not going to let McKendree do anything, especially that goal line stand there and the missed field goal.
No, I'm really excited about that. We were debating on calling timeout, just trying to make different plays and all. You know, just felt like our defense has played well all game. Felt like we gave ourselves a chance to block a field goal, block a kick. And so just really excited about those guys. That D-line is awesome and just doing a great job of getting after the quarterback overall.
No, that's 100% accurate. Again, the defense, obviously, you got to score and you got to stop, and they did all the stopping and a fair amount of scoring, too.
And then I got to mention the punt formation. You guys, you did pull a rabbit out of your hat there. I know there was a bad penalty that they called on it, but play worked. I mean, what was the thinking behind using that now?
I mean, I tell our guys, I'm not afraid to use it no matter what. I don't care if we're holding it. I don't want to try to hold anything for anybody. You know, I want to make sure we're giving our guys ourselves a chance to go score points. And so Coach Rims and I talked, and he said, hey, you good with this? I said, you daggum right, I am. So let's go get it. And I told our guys on offense, I'm not afraid to be aggressive, go for it on fourth. We went for it on fourth down after that. So I love that our guys have bought into that, and now we just got to keep getting better as a team overall and all units. Got to clean up little things, clean up things between the whistles, and, you know, be better about
that's it.
Just smart plays. But overall, just proud of the team, and we got to keep improving.
I am a little bit worried about Coach Noble's harsh language.
You know, I want to make sure we're giving. I don't care if we're holding it. I don't want to try to hold anything for anybody.
I'm using
that now. And
a chance to go. I talked, and he said, hey, you good with this? I said, you daggum right I am. So let's go.
You daggum right I am. I love it. I love it. But this, honestly, my favorite part of this interview, my favorite part of the post game was, you know, kind of like, are you happy with how this went, basically?
Obviously, competition ratchets up another level next week, but enjoy win number two. You always got to celebrate victories.
No, absolutely. You always got to celebrate what you can get. And so, obviously, you know, we're not satisfied with, we're not content with how this game went. So we got to keep getting better. Obviously, we'll take wins whenever we can get them, but we got a lot to improve on, and these guys know it. And so, you know, we got to be prepared for anybody we're playing. Be prepared for us as we keep moving forward.
A lot to improve on, not content. And by the way, playing FAMU next week. Yeah, so this is going to be a big test.
Yeah, big game.
But they have the skills. They had eight different receivers in this game. It was, I had it just pulled up. Seven sacks, limiting the home team to just 2.4 yards per play. That's crazy. 22 different Argos got at least one tackle. Wow. That's pretty good. 437-1620. For those of you who know that I'm an Auburn fan, no, I'm not going to revel in the Texas game. I'm just going to – Alabama didn't win. That's all I got for you. Alabama didn't win.
Alabama lost,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Auburn did manage to win, and that's all I have to say about that. Colorado won again. The primetime story, the Deion Sanders story, continues to win. They look pretty good. Not a dominating blowout, but they did win. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Secret offers. Guaranteed returns. Over-the-top promises that you, too, can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit FLOFR.gov to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
There's nothing worse than being charged to spend your own money. That's why, at Penair Credit Union, our fee-free checking account has surcharge-free ATMs available from Pensacola to Pencil wherever. So wherever you go, you can bet there's a surcharge-free ATM waiting for you. Because hey, we don't like fees any more than you do. So our checking has no monthly fees, no balance requirements, and thousands of surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Penair Checking. It just fits better. Make the switch at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Fox News' Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Crash and burn, huh, Mav? Slider. You stink.
Oh, it's so funny. We were at Casino Beach Bar on Saturday.
Oh,
went out
cool.
to dinner with some friends, and they were going primarily because they're big fans of Horseshoe Kitty.
Oh, right. I like Horseshoe Kitty.
And yeah. Where you wear the little headband or whatever. I did not.
Yeah.
My wife did.
Okay.
But it was kind of funny because we were listening, and, you know, they cover all, like, every decade you were alive, basically.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And they were fun to watch.
Yeah,
and,
no, it's,
yeah,
and
real talented
like, at least
group.
The one guy that we met that was, like, their neighbor, you know, it was a really sweet guy. But it was kind of funny because I'm with some people who are they're regular listeners to the show. They're friends and fans. And you know, it's kind of funny because they're playing some, you know, music from the 80s. They're playing, like, they played a Cure song. They played a Billy Idol song. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, you don't know this music, do you? And she's like, well, I like this band.
Oh,
she's so adorable.
I love
and,
it.
I'm like, you know, but you don't know that it's Billy Idol and the Cure. She's like, nope. And then they played You Really Got Me by Van Halen.
Oh,
and she's
sure.
like, I know that one. I'm like, oh, there you go.
Is that Van Halen?
And then they jumped to the 90s. I'm like, they've changed decades. And she's like, okay, but I still like it. You know, so it's just kind of, you know, she's a good friend, dear friend. And she says, I just always loved how you and Candy know so much about music and movies. And
right.
What's funny about that is when I get around like Jeremy Evans, I feel like I don't know anything about music. And when I get around Julio, I feel like I don't know anything about movies. You know, so.
Oh, dude, same.
There's always somebody who knows more.
Yeah. Jeremy Evans, is he a metalhead, I think?
I don't know.
It kind of surprised me. Yeah. When he was in, I was like, wow.
Super knowledgeable.
Yeah. He's so cool.
549 on News Radio 92.3. The withdrawal from Afghanistan is producing more good results. Not only are they oppressing women now, amazingly oppressing women. What was the one from last week where they're not allowing women to go to the, like, recreational areas, the gardens and parks, because women don't need to sightsee? I mean, yeah. what do they need to sightsee for, you know? They can be at home delivering babies. I mean, what's the issue? That's the Taliban view. So
yeah,
now,
that's Texas.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm just kidding.
So now another example of the great success of letting the Taliban run things is, despite what they say is the war on drugs, Afghanistan is the fastest growing maker of methamphetamines in the world. Not the biggest yet. There's still Mexico. But, you know.
They have meth over there?
Well, what happens is, so meth is very inexpensive to produce. Right?
Probably.
And what you need is the ingredient in the pseudoephedrine, which comes from, I guess, the ephedra plant. They grow ephedra.
Oh,
in
okay.
Afghanistan. Kind of like
they
grow the opium. I was going to say,
it just doesn't seem like they would have a drug problem over there.
Oh,
because
yeah, they do.
No. They're so, let's make all these laws.
That's how they make a lot of the money, right? But yeah, no, the Taliban is trying to crack down on it. Maybe an unfortunate phrase. But, you know, they are now, according to the UN, they are the world's fastest growing maker of methamphetamines. So, great stuff. 8:55 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is back in his chair in the newsroom. I hope you stay there and never leave that chair, David.
Well,
we love Steve, but I hope you never leave.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be back in my chair.
Get back in your chair.
I had to switch all the chairs. Somebody had messed all the chairs.
Isn't that the worst?
Oh, goodness. I found
how can
it, though.
I be expected to work under these conditions?
What happens on the weekend? Like, something comes in and just rearranges
all the
chairs.
Would you believe it? Somebody put my chair out
weird.
By the dumpster.
Everything.
I had to bring it back in here. It's got my grooves worn into it. All right, let's get back to news. That's the right thing to do. Hey, rescue efforts are ongoing in Morocco. This is after that giant 6.8 magnitude earthquake. More than 2,100 people there confirmed dead. They say that death toll is expected to rise even more. A big business week ahead. Wednesday's reports bringing the latest consumer price index, which will undoubtedly show all of the Bidenomics results that we're waiting to hear. And also, Pennsylvania State Police. Have you been following this search for the suspect
the
in
suspect?
Pennsylvania?
Is this the guy who crab walked his way up the wall to get
yes,
into this case?
Yes.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I walked into my son's room the other day. He's working on stuff, and he was watching a video of this guy. I'm like, the way information disseminates in this country
you got
is amazing.
Is he practicing in the hallway just in case he gets arrested for something?
But
cool?
When I was a kid, I used to think that was great shakes, right? You know, climb up the door frame. Anyway, go ahead, David. Sorry.
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, they're saying now that they believe he's still in the same state. They think he's still in the same county, and the search continues for him. So we'll all be waiting to see the latest updates from Pennsylvania on that today.
And it's like around this one recreational garden or something, right? That's a pretty big complex is kind of where this is all focused.
I believe so, yeah. Right now, I mean, I think they're saying he may not necessarily be still right there, but
right.
They're saying he's still, they believe he's
somewhere.
In the county, yeah.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, this earthquake is horrible in Morocco. It looks like maybe 2,000 people were killed by this thing.
It's awful.
It's just
yeah.
terrible. And it you know, some New York Times has it, the death toll is nearing 2,500. You know, I mean, that's this is the anniversary of 9/11, right?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
That's that same number is that vicinity, whatever it turns out to be. It's just devastating for this country. And yet, here's just, this is not meant as a criticism. This just is, okay? An earthquake that kills 2,500 people, or we don't know how many, obviously, in a distant land is in this day and age, it can be hard to wrap your heart around something like that just because it's at such a distance. And, you know, if it were like, if we're 100 people in Florida, you know, that would be close to us and we would care more. And if it were, you know, 10 people in Escambia County, that would be even worse. And of course, if it was one person in your family, I mean, I say this because I sometimes find myself feeling guilty that I don't have sort of stronger empathy sentiments for things that happen elsewhere in the world. You know, feeling like, man, I ought to be more upset about that because that's 2,000 people. You know, that's unbelievable. But that's a defense mechanism against the kind of, I don't know, empathy overload that you get because of exposure to so much news and information. It's like it's rational in the sense that it's a defense mechanism, but you can't really argue that the 5 people in this county or 10 people in this county are more important than the 2,500 people over there. But that's how your brain reacts to this stuff. It just is. So, I mentioned that only because, you know, I don't know what your reaction is to this story, but I know when I hear something like this, there's a part of me that's just like, oh my God. And then there's a part of me that's like, well, that's Morocco. And I don't say that like I'm proud of that reaction. I'm saying that's just, I think that's a very normal human reaction. 437-1620, 437-1620. When you have a good import like a BMW, a Porsche, Mercedes, Audi, Genesis, a Jaguar, a Lexus, you think maybe I got to take that to the dealership because it's a particular specialty kind of car. No, you don't. You don't have to go, especially if that dealership is, you know, over the river and through the woods and across I-10 and you got to deal with all of that. No, you can save some money, save some time, save a lot of headache not having to drive that crazy route. You can go to Bobby Lakus Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They take care of those cars all the time. Diesel engine. Same thing. You might think you got to go to the dealership for that truck that's misbehaving. You don't. You can go to Bobby Lycus Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. Their website is carclinicservice.com, like a healthcare clinic for your car. Because the idea is don't bring it to them broken. Bring it to them not even sick. You know, bring it to them healthy. And then they can prevent it from being sick. And then you can save some money and you can do all the routine maintenance. And then you can, that's the idea. Preventative. It's to avoid the big thing, right? So Bobby Lycus Auto Service right here on Davis Highway for all of your car care needs, not just your imports and your diesel engines. 556 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see, what else do we have? You want to do a 5 o'clock story?
Yeah.
Story we can't do any other time?
Oh, God, yes, please. That's what I live for.
I'm going to have to say this one a little delicately, okay? If you happen to be up early with kids for whatever goodness knows reason, this is not the story for them. Okay, let me just preface it that way. Chinese couple tries for several years to have children.
Married, okay.
Tries to conceive. No success. 24 and 26-year-old, very young, okay? They're healthy. They go to the doctor. The doctor does all the tests, and everything's fine.
Okay.
The tests come out totally fine. No big deal. I mean, what's the problem? She complains that it's unpleasant.
Okay.
It's very unpleasant.
I get it.
Well, turns out he does some more tests on her and finds out that she's actually a virgin. The doctor. It sounds like a setup for a joke. It's not a joke. But let's just say they weren't doing it properly.
You know my question.
So in your house, you know how in your house you've got like a front door?
Yeah. Okay.
So they educated the young couple and she became pregnant a few months later. And now they have notified the clinician and they've paid them, compensated them with a live chicken and 100 eggs since, like the hen, they finally had a productive, I won't say it. I could read you the joke that's written in the article, but I'm not going to say it. Well, you know, chickens lay eggs.
Right.
So, 437, see, I can't do that story at 7:30.
I have so much I want to say.
I know. What the doctor said, typical doctor fashion, is, you know, look, young people don't always know everything. And so maybe what we need is a little bit better
Well, maybe
education.
They were trying for a boy. You don't know.
Stop it.
All right. Sorry, we still have time left. Five. Give me a minute. I'll get another one I can do on air. All right. Five. Oh, thank God.
Oh, my God. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. So, speaking of Bands on the Beach, tomorrow night, Bands on the Beach is back. Rust and Gold performs 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. Kudos to the Santa Rosa Island Authority for putting that on. Also, Egg Fest, Sunday, November 12th, Kia Autosport, Wahoo Stadium. Great event. VIP tickets are now on sale. They're going fast. Get your tickets and more information at newsradio923.com. And the Seafood Festival is also coming up September 29th through the 1st.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A couple of fatal crashes over the weekend. Also, a big fundraiser that raised money for the Shriners Hospital. We've got those stories coming up.